Okay, so this week I want to speak a little bit about Yitzchak Avinu. So obviously it's connected to the parasha. We'll hopefully tie it into current events in Eretz Yisrael. And it's also just important to speak about Yitzchak Avinu because recent years, unfortunately, I've heard a lot of these tainas that Yitzchak Avinu had Down syndrome. It's absolutely ridiculous. What? Umay says, just, you know, it's a new maharuch. It's called You Push Your Agenda for using the Torah. So, what? I mean, there's a bunch of Amoraitim don't know anything about Tanakh. So we're going to try to understand what Yitzchak Avinu is all about, why Yitzchak Avinu is not maybe mentioned so much in the Torah. It's not because he had Down syndrome or statistic or anything like that, but it's rather because what Yitzchak Avinu is trying to contribute, to Klai Yisrael, didn't need him to get as much airtime, quote-unquote, as Avram and Yaakov. So let's try to understand what Yitzchak's all about. We'll try to understand Yitzchak Avinu and I guess in a few different lights. So I want to start as follows. So if we look at Yitzchak Avinu, the way Yitzchak Avinu relates to the Beis HaMikdash is fundamentally different the way Avram and Yaakov relate to the Beis HaMikdash. So how does Yitzchak relate to the Beis HaMikdash? So Chazal Kam in the Gemara in Pesach and Daf Pei Ches, so when it comes to Avram Avinu, how does Avram Avinu call Beis HaMikdash? A har, a mountain. How's Yaakov called Beis HaMikdash? He calls it a bayis, a house. How's Yitzchak called the Beis HaMikdash? Was Yitzchak being called the Beis HaMikdash? A sada, a field. What's the difference between a field versus a house and a mountain? What's the difference? Anyone? Flat. Yeah, okay, it's flat. Good. Maral says that. Good. But when it comes to a field is not like, it doesn't have so much structure. When it comes to a mountain, you can't just move a mountain. When it comes to a house, like, it's something that's pretty sturdy. When it comes to a field, like, you can sort of manipulate it. So the question is as follows. Why is it that Yitzchak Avinu is specifically the one that associates the Beis HaMikdash, which is something which does not have a permanent structure, but just something which can sort of be moved and changed? So that's the first question. And if we look in this week's parasha, it's also interesting that, what's Esav called? How's the Torah referred to Esav? Ace is referred to as an Ish Sada. So both, it seems to be that Ace sort of inherited this affinity towards the Sada coming from his father Yitzchak. So I guess the question we can ask is, like, what went wrong? Why is it that Ace sort of doesn't relate to the Sada in the proper way, rather Ace becomes the Ish Sada? So let's, I guess, we'll start with these questions and maybe we'll tie it into other aspects of Yitzchak Avinu's life. Okay, so if we look at the significance of Siach HaSada, or the fact that Yitzchak Avinu goes to Asuch Basada, so we're going to have to take a look at the first time that the word Siach and Sada appear in the Torah. So where the first time the word Siach and Sada appear in the Torah? Anyone know? In Parashas? Parashas? Yeah, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei. So the Torah says, called Siach HaSada Taim Yitzmach, called Esav HaSada, etc. So the point is what happens. Perek Aleph, the Torah records the creation of the world. Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, the Torah says, Eilat Tolos Hashem Aretz V'Yibra'ah, meaning referring to the fact that now we're going to sort of go into the creation of man, man's relationship with the world. Pasuk Hei talks about the Siach HaSada, talks about the vegetation of the field. So Hirsch explains as follows. What's the difference between a Sada and Adama versus Aretz? If you look all throughout the first parak of Bereishis, the way how's the ground referred to? The ground is always referred to as Aretz. It's not until the second parak of creation, it's not until the second parak of Bereishis that the ground is called Asada and the ground is called Adama. So what's the difference between Asada and Adama? So it explains the first parak. So when it comes to Aretz, that refers to like the physical ground. When it comes to Asada and when it comes to Adama, that's the way man cultivates and is able to bring the ground to its fruition. So, for example, if Hirsch explains that the word Sada, he thinks it's connected to the Hebrew word Shadaim. In the same way Shadaim allows a child to nourish, the same thing's true when it comes to the field. The Sada, it produces, it cultivates. And the same thing is true when it comes to Adama. I mean, the significance of Adama is that, man, we work the ground, we allow the ground to bring it, come and reach its fruition. So the point is as follows. When it comes to Yitzchak Avinu, what's Yitzchak Avinu do? What did Yitzchak Avinu do? He's Lasuch Basada. The way we're able to bring the ground to its fruition, the way we're able to bring crops to the reach the potential they're able to do, is if we are Mispal, if we daven, and if we recognize the fact that all the bracha in this world is really coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the Mefarshim on the Pasuk in Lasuch Basada, when the Pasuk talks about the fact that Yitzchak was Lasuch Basada, not all of them understand, like Chazal, that refers to the fact that Yitzchak went out to daven. If you look at the Rashbam, how does the Rashbam understand the Pasuk? He understands Lasuch Basada literally means that Yitzchak went out to plant. So is this a contradiction of the words of Chazal? So this is not. I speak to my good friend here, you know Gervich. You guys should get to know him if you don't know him already. So he is explaining to me that, no, chats like this. He heard from Moshe Shapiro. So Moshe Shapiro pointed out one time that the Gemara says that the Pasuk says, Vayipalel Pinchos b'magefa, that Pinchos daven to stop the plague. Now, what's the problem with this? What's the problem with the fact that the Pasuk in Sefer Tehillim says that Pinchos daven to stop the plague? What happens in Chumash? What happens in Chumash? What stopped the plague according to Chumash? What did Pinchos do? He killed Zimri. So what's the question? According to the Pasuk in Tehillim, Pinchos daven. According to the Pasuk Shem Chumash, what did Pinchos do? He just killed Zimri. So what's Jat? So Moshe Shapiro explains now. Because what's the whole idea of Tefillah? What's Tefillah? So Tefillah is a language of Plilim. What's Plilim? It means to judge. What's judge? What's judgment do? Judgment takes ethereal ideas. Meaning, you go to a court case. So a plaintiff has, I don't know, X, Y, and Z claims. What the judge was supposed to do is to take all those ideas that are out there and now make them concrete and come out with a clear psak din. So when it comes to tefillah as well, what tefillah is, when a person davens, what we're doing is that we're causing things to happen. The same way when judgment brings something ethereal out and makes it actualizes it, that's what tefillah does. What tefillah allows a person to do, it takes potential and allows one to actualize it. So when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating plants in Parshas Bereishis, what does Chazal teach? What prevented the plants from growing? It wasn't until person we daven for it, because tefillah allows a person to do it. It allows to take what exists in potential and brings it out to potential. And that's the same exact thing when it comes to judgment. Judgment takes something that's it's sort of ethereal and takes it and makes it, it actualizes it, it makes it concrete. And that's the same exact pshat when it came to Pinchas. So Pinchas did. Yeah, he didn't actually, Vayipalel Pinchas explains to Moshe Shapiro, he didn't actually daven. No, what he did was he actualized what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted through killing Zimri, and that's the end of the plague. So in a sense, it's the same thing as davening. It's the same way tefillah does is takes potential and actualizes it. That's what Pinchas did when he killed Zimri. That's what Moshe Shapiro explains. So my friend, you know, he said that's pshat came to Yitzhak and Vin, the sixth parasha, because what did Yitzhak do? If you like the Rashbam, though, Yitzhak did, he didn't daven. What did he do? He just planted. Yeah, but the point is that the same way planting, a person plants and he recognizes the fact that the brachas come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the same thing as tefillah. Because both tefillah and planting from that perspective, but it's coming from a place of recognizing the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what brings the potential out to fruition. So it's really the same exact thing. The problem, the flaw of Esav was that Esav remained Ish Hasada. He thought he was in control. He was Ish Hasada. He was the one that was in control of the Sada. That was the flaw of Esav. And that's what caused that's sort of what Esav went wrong. He didn't take the meat of Yitzhak's relationship to the field properly. He didn't take what Yitzhak really to the field. The fact that Yitzhak even recognized the fact that all the bracha that happened in the field was just a result of him sort of partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring that bracha out. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so I want to let's elaborate upon this and to make this a little bit more substantial. Let me talk a little bit about the fact that Yitzhak Avinu, what he represents in the sense that Yitzhak Avinu is all about bringing potential out. I guess maybe the difference between Yitzhak and Avraham. So let's explain as follows. So when it comes to Avraham is all about potential. The start of something, the beginning of something, always represents potential. The significance of Yitzhak, though, is that Yitzhak Avinu actually actualized his potential. And he did this in a few different measures, and we'll try to explain this idea. So first of all, when it comes to Yitzhak Avinu, so what does Avram say? Anochi ofar ve'efer. So what's the efer referring to? What's efer? It means dust. So Chazal understand it to refer to the fact that whose efer is placed on the Mizbeach, whose dust is placed on the Mizbeach, whose ashes are placed on the Mizbeach? Yitzhak Avinu. When Yitzhak Avinu went through the Akedah, so the schos of the Akedah caused Yitzhak's ashes to be placed on his back. So what's the significance of ashes? What's ashes? When you burn something, what remains? Just ashes. So ashes are the complete realization of the potential of the burning. Meaning when you burn something, nothing remains. The only thing that remains is ashes. That's Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu, when he went through that Kedah, what Yitzhak Avinu did was that he actually realized his potential in this world. When Yitzhak Avinu realized his potential, it's the only thing that remained as the result of that afterwards was ashes. The same when you burn something, it completely changes its state. The only thing that remains is ashes. That's the same thing that's true when it came to Yitzhak Avinu. The only thing that remained was Yitzhak Avinu's ashes after the Akedah. So the point is that Avraham explains the Ramban. What's the point of Nisayon? Avraham Avinu was tested 10 Nisayon. What's the point of Nisayon, explains the Ramban? Why was Avraham Avinu tested 10 times? Ramban explains that the purpose of a test is to bring out the potential and actualize that potential. That's what Yitzhak Avinu did. Yitzhak Avinu took the potential and he actualized it by willing to sacrifice himself completely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Akedah. So the point is that if we look at Yitzhak, what happens at the Akedah? So what Chazal say? So Chazal say that Yitzhak Avinu, he died. Right? There's a Tchias HaMesim after the Akedah. So why did Yitzhak Avinu die at the Akedah? Because that's the point. The point is that Yitzhak Avinu, when he reached the Akedah, he reached his potential, he reached his full potential, and as a result, he died as a result. So therefore, they need to be a Tchias HaMesim afterwards, because when a person reaches his potential, there's no need for them to be in this world any longer. Same thing with Shimon comes to Sari Yimeinu, except there was no Tchias HaMesim. What happened at the beginning of Paishas Chai Sarah? So when did Sari Yimeinu die? So she died right after Yitzhak Avinu went through the Akedah. So Moshe Feinstein is like, Bavid, like, no, like, her son just went through the Akedah, and, like, the merit of that caused Sari Yimeinu to die? Like, what's that? No, but Moshe Feinstein explains, because that's exactly the point. The point is that Sari Yimeinu's main job in her life at that point was to sort of give the proper chinuch to her son Yitzhak. Once Yitzhak Avinu reached his potential by willing to completely sacrifice himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. She didn't need to be alive anymore, because she reached her potential. So that's the significance of Yitzhak Avinu. The significance of Yitzhak Avinu is that Yitzhak Avinu was he reached his potential, and as we're going to elaborate upon, Yitzhak Avinu is what brought out Avraham Avinu's potential. So I guess on a related note, so the Mefarshim point out, I guess maybe in the Chassidish Sfarim, but they say that when it comes to the Yom Tov Mechodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, they correspond to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Maybe anyone here have any thoughts on why Avraham corresponds to Rosh Hashanah? What's the correspondence? What's the relationship between Avraham and Rosh Hashanah? What? Oh, exactly. That's what everyone explains. The whole point of Rosh Hashanah is all about the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the first one to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's Avraham Avinu. So that's Avraham and Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Yaakov and Sukkot, so there's a lot of connections between Yaakov and Sukkot. What are the connections between Yaakov and Sukkot? So one, I mean, the easiest one is that Yaakov actually built Sukkot. Right, the Torah and Parshas by Yishlach says that Yaakov built Sukkot. But, okay, there's other connections that exist between Yaakov and Sukkah, right? I mean, Yaakov had 12 shatim, the complete achdus of Klai, so that's what the Sukkah represents, the Sukkah, right? It's called the Sukkos Shalom. Sukkah is the place of Shalom, which was what Yaakov Avinu was. But that's Sukkos. Well, what's Yom Kippur? What's the connection between Yitzhak and Yom Kippur? So if you think about it, what's the emphasis of Yom Kippur? What's Yom Kippur all about? What does it say in the Torah when a constant refrain when it comes to Yom Kippur every Nisan? Es nafsho seichem. The emphasis is always on the nefesh. And that's Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu was the one who was most in nefesh. He's willing to give up his entire nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second pasuk in Kriya Shema says, Yehavtos Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. So Chazal in the Sefer their comment, v'chol levavcha refers to Avraham Avinu. V'chol nafshecha refers to Yitzhak. V'chol me'odecha refers to Yaakov. So the point is, v'chol nafshecha, the fact that a person is willing to die for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is that learned that from? Who's the one that teaches us that? That's Yitzhak Avinu. And that's Yitzhak Avinu's connection to Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, we afflict ourselves. We afflict our nefesh through the five Yinuim, right, through the fasting and everything else. And that corresponds to Yitzhak Avinu. The same way Yitzhak Avinu is willing to be most in nefesh for himself, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through that Kedah. So in Yom Kippur, we're also most in nefesh ourselves. I mean, we're sort of don't partake in this world. We're most in nefesh on Yom Kippur as well. And the point is that Yom Kippur is a day of realization and actualization of our potential. Meaning Yom Kippur, it's the one day a year where we're like angels, because the point is that we actually actualize our potential that exists inside of us. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. So specifically Yom Kippur, that's the day which corresponds to Yitzhak Avinu, because the same way Yitzhak Avinu is all about bringing that potential into this world and actualizing the potential, that's what Yom Kippur allows us to do. Yom Kippur also allows us to actualize potential. So that's another connection between actualizing potential and Yitzhak Avinu. Okay, does that make sense? No questions? No ha'aras? Okay. Yeah.
I just have a question about an earlier point.
Yeah, sure.
So if Yitzchak reached his full potential at the Akedah, so why did he have to, why didn't he just then stay? If he reached his full potential, why was there a reason for him to then be alive after that
point? Very good. So think about it. What did Yitzchak not do at that point? Right, yes. What? Exactly. So. What? Yeah.
If I would have thought about it for half a second more, I would have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean the significance of Yitzchak Avinu is we're going to explain. It's a good transition, but I mean, if we look at the significance of Yitzchak Avinu really allowed the Klai, so his significance as an Av was that he was the one that sort of paved the way through the next generation of Klai Yisrael, sort of was able to one that was able to. Yitzchak Avinu, I guess, was unique in the sense that he's the only one that's the son of an Av, but also is the one that's the father of an Av. And as we explained earlier, Yitzchak Avinu was he's the Av that Chazal associate with Tefillah. What's Tefillah? So in this week's parish, in Parshas Vayetze, Naphtali, Leah gives birth to Naphtali. So what does she call him? She calls him Naphtali. Why? Naftuli, exactly. What does the word Naftuli mean? So it means like a cord, like a rope. That's what Tefillah does. I mean, the whole idea of Yitzchak was that he's sort of like the rope. He was sort of what connected Abraham to Yaakov. Yeah.
But why does the Torah portray Yitzchak as someone who's so close to passing it on to Esav? Because if Rivka did not intervene, you would imagine that Yitzchak would have given the bracha to Esav.
So it seemed that Yitzchak sort of wanted both Yitzchak and Esav to sort of be part of the. It's a good question. It sort of seemed that Yitzchak sort of wanted to pass it on to both Yitzchak and to Esav and Yaakov, sort of have both of them sort of be part of the mishpacha. Maybe another time we could elaborate. That's a good question. Yeah.
Would we then say worth it to delay reaching our potential so we have a longer life?
Huh? What does that mean?
So meaning, let's just put it this way, there's a difference between Yitzchak Avinu and us.
And just because Yitzchak Avinu was able to reach his potential, when it comes to us, that wasn't Yitzchak Avinu's attitude. Yitzchak Avinu's attitude going to that kid was not, okay, I'm going to do this when I reach my potential, and that's it, I'm part of the mitzvahs from now on. But, our attitude always has to be there, our potential will always, the point of potential is that, potential can also grow, right? You'll always have more potential. So, Just because Yitzchak Avinu sort of might reach his potential doesn't necessarily mean that we're anywhere near that level.
What does it mean that he reached his potential if he didn't have kids yet?
What?
What does it mean that he reached his potential if he still had?
No, meaning what it means is that one act of Messias Nefesh at the Akedah sort of really defined who he was, and in that sense he reached.
What? Dude,
man, he reached his full potential outside of his Sarah attitude. He reached his full potential, I guess, in that, in one realm. He didn't fully reach his potential, I guess, in all realms.
Sarah's not involved in Yitzchak and Yaakov. Sarah didn't even realize for that part.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, good. Okay, so maybe let's elaborate upon this. No, he didn't. He didn't know. Yitzchak didn't know what was going to happen. Correct. He unknowingly. Correct. Okay. Good. Okay. Anyway, so maybe let's elaborate a little bit about the connection between Yitzchak and Abraham, and there's a lot to say about this, but maybe we'll just say over quickly the significance, I guess, of the relationship between Abraham and Yitzchak, and why it is that Yitzchak seems to sort of just repeat everything that Abraham does. We look throughout the sixth parasha. Does Yitzchak do so much that's new? No. Right. What happens? Abraham Avinu. He gets afflicted by a famine, goes to Mitzrayim. Okay, so Yitzchak doesn't go to Mitzrayim, he goes to Gerar. But what Abram lies and says that Sarah's his sister, Yitzchak lies and says that Rivka's his sister. And Yitzchak, throughout this parasha, seems to sort of just repeat what his father does. If we look at the first pasuk, what does the first pasuk say? The Elo Todos Yitzchak ben Abraham, Abram holy Yitzchak. So it seems to be that, with the Mefarshim Rabbi Bavi, like this seems to be a little bit redundant. Why is it Avram Ilba Tos Avram and Yitzhak Yitzhak Ben Avram Avram Holy is Yitzhak? So the Mefarshim explains as follows, that the essence of Yitzhak Avinu, so when a person saw Yitzhak, they saw Avraham. What Yitzhak Avinu did was that he allowed Avram's sort of whole ideology to be able to continue and to bring it out into fruition. Let's explain this idea. What Avram Avinu represents is that Avram Avinu is all about Midas HaChesed. Now the problem is, if Chesed is not tampered with, if it doesn't have the right checks and balances, so then it can just sort of be, it can be under, it can be, exactly, my father's probably going to tell me I'm getting this mashal wrong, but when it comes to electricity, if you have a very strong electric current, so it can be very dangerous and it can do more damage if you don't have resistors and whatnot. But what's the whole purpose of the resistor and the purpose of the other thing that stops the electric current from going? I mean, the point is that it allows the proper amount of electricity to flow. And what? You want me to correct me? Okay, it's okay. It's for the purpose of the mashal. I think the point's okay, but I'm sure. Okay, the science is not 100% accurate, but something along the lines that when it comes to electric current, the point is that they have resistors and other stuff to sort of allow the proper amount of electricity to flow, because you're not going to get the amount of right electricity if you don't have this. So the same thing is true when it comes to Avram's chesed. Right? If we look at Avram's chesed, who else did Avram have? So Avram also had Yishmael. What does the Torah say about Yishmael? He is Nofel, very exactly. The point is Yishmael is that he's just going. Yishmael is not constrained by any boundaries. Rahman Lutzon, like we see this right now. You look at the Muslims, the Mamish, no boundaries. Like it comes to obviously the terrorists, the Rahman Lutzon, like they're not constrained by anything, they won't do anything. You just look at all these pro-Palestinian protesters in the United States, it's crazy. It was just like, I had the horror. You went to this rally, whoever went to the rally last Tuesday. Like, there's no graffiti, there's no crazy, no breaking in, there's no killing. You go to every single, like, pro-Muslim rally that you hear about, it's like, always ends up with, there's always something, some violence going on, something negative, something, because that's the point. When it comes to Yishmael, they have all this hashpah, but they're not controlled, they're not contained. When it comes to Yitzhak Avinu, what did Yitzhak Avinu have? But the whole idea of Yitzhak Avinu, what Yitzhak Avinu represents, Yitzhak Avinu is the Midas Hadin. Yitzhak Avinu was able to sort of balance that Chesed Avram and channel it properly in order to further the Jewish people going forwards on the right trajectory. That's really the significance of Yitzhak Avinu, his contribution to Avram. So, meaning the significance of what the Netziv is writing, that whenever someone saw Yitzhak, they saw Avram. But the point is that Yitzhak Avinu now took everything that Avram had, was able to sort of put it right, in order to sort of balance that properly, in order to be able to perpetuate the Jewish people going forwards on the right track. So the idea is, when it comes to Yitzhak Avinu, Maharal writes in many places that Yitzhak Avinu is the one that's really the source of bracha. If we look, for example, in Shmona Esrei, so Maharal explains that the first three brachas of Shmona Esrei, each of them correspond to each of the avos. So what's the first bracha of Shmona Esrei all about? Which av does that correspond to? Exactly, Magen Avram. It's all about Avram Avinu. When it comes to the third bracha of Shmona Esrei, Tak Kadosh, so who's that correspond to? Corresponds to Yaakov. Yaakov, again, Maral goes for another year. We could talk about the significance of Yaakov and Kedusha, and all the connections between that. But the second bracha, Shmona Esrei, that is the bracha which corresponds to Yitzhak Avinu. As we explained, Yitzhak Avinu had a Trias Mason. So the second bracha, Shmona Esrei, is all about Trias Mason. And Yitzhak Avinu, what was Yitzhak Avinu's Midah? So he is Gvura. What's the second bracha, Shmona Esrei, about Gvura? But there's another element that's added to the second bracha, Shmona Esrei. What was this element added to the second bracha, Shmona Esrei? Right, Mashiva Ruach, Marid HaGashem. Right, we also talk about Gashem, because what's the significance of rain? Rain is, it's the Hashpah, it's the bracha that comes down from the upper worlds down to the lower worlds. And the point is, when it comes to bracha, if a person doesn't have the proper way to channel that bracha, so what happens to that bracha? It just becomes a call, it becomes a curse. So, Mashiva Dava Doma, let's just give an example. When it comes to rain, there's two ways that rain can be a curse. If there's no rain, that's a curse. But also, if you have torrential amounts of rain, it just rains too much, that's also going to be a curse. So that's Yitzhak Avinu, meaning the whole significance of Yitzhak Avinu is that Yitzhak Avinu allowed the proper amount of brachot to come to this world. Because the point is that if you just have unleashed amount of chesed, so that's also very damaged. That also damages a lot. But the significance of the Midas HaDin of Yitzhak is that sort of countered Avraham now allows the right amount of hashpah to come down to this world. But further, what allows bracha to be received in this world? What creates the vehicle for bracha? So the same thing when it comes to like a cup of water. Meaning if you want a glass of water, you go to the sink. So if your glass of water is not empty, it's not going to do you much good to have this. You're not going to be able to get into the bracha from the water from the sink. It's only if you have an empty glass that you're going to be able to get the bracha from the sink. So the same thing is true when it comes to bracha in this world. If a person doesn't have a kli kibul to accept the bracha, then there's not going to be any way of receiving that bracha. What creates the kli kibul for accepting bracha? What allows a person to receive bracha? It only comes from a place of hisbatlus. It only comes from a place of another. The significance of humility, the significance of the fact that Yitzhak Avinu completely negated himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that that's what allowed Yitzhak Avinu to receive bracha. When the same way that if a person has a full glass of water and you're trying to get more water from the sink, it's not going to do any good. When a person's haughty, when a person's arrogant, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be mashpia bracha from the Yom Dan to Tachtum, because there's nothing that's able to accept that bracha. When is a person able to accept bracha? Only when there's a via, only when there's a place of negation that's able to bring that bracha in. So the significance of Yitzhak Avinu, the significance of the fact that Yitzhak Avinu was most in nefesh at the Akedah, was that allowed Yitzhak Avinu not to be able to bring bracha into his life as well. So that's, I guess, another significance, to the Mesias Nefesh of Yitzhak Avinu, and how Yitzhak Avinu sort of fervored the trajectory of Avram Avinu, that Yitzhak Avinu sort of provided the right checks and balances, I guess, to Avram's chesed in order to be able to perpetuate Klal Yisrael going forward on the right track. So yeah, even though Yitzhak Avinu doesn't get so much airtime, right? if we go back to this electricity muscle, which apparently I'm according to the scientists, I'm not exactly explaining properly, but when it comes to electricity, right, so everything is all about like the spitz, like the electricity going forwards, and people don't focus so much on what doesn't allow the extra electricity to flow through. But that's Avram and Yitzhak. I mean, everyone focuses, the focus is quote unquote all about Avram, but the point is that we have to remember that Yitzhak Avinu is just as important as well. It's about Yitzhak Avinu, it doesn't allow Avram's messages to sort of be able to continue going forwards in the right direction. So yeah, heaven forbid that anyone should think that Yitzhak Avinu had Down syndrome. Well, it's fun. That's not pshat with Yitzhak Avinu at all. Okay, and any questions about this until this point? Yeah.
The Rebbeinu Mechaya says in the introduction that Avraham Avinu was nitzul mekivshan ha'ishvus uto shel Yitzchak.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same point.
Avraham Avinu is, yeah, so what's pshat?
What's pshat in the uto shel Yitzchak?
Yeah.
This point that the Yitzchak also was gave form to Avram's chesed.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. Could be. That's a good point. Okay, I don't know. So maybe another point maybe just to speak about is, it's also just interesting, Ha'ara, what tefillah did Yitzhak Avinu establish? So Yitzhak Avinu was the one that established tefillas mincha. If we just take a look at the structure, we have to get back to the understanding, I guess, the connection between Yitzhak Avinu and the field. But what's the significance of Tfilas Mincha as opposed to Shachris and Ma'ariv? Like, what's different about Mincha as opposed to Shachris and Ma'ariv? So first of all, you just look at the structure of it. When it comes to Shachris and Ma'ariv, there's a whole idea of Smichus Ula L'Tfila. There's a whole preamble of Kriya Shema. When it comes to Mincha, there's none of that. We say Asher, and then you just sort of go jump right into Shema Esrei. So why is it that Yitzhak Avinu, what made Yitzhak Avinu special, that he's the one that established Tefillas Mincha as opposed to the other Tefillos? So perhaps we can explain, based on everything we said, that I'm forgetting which one he says the commentary, but he explains that the significance of Tefillas Mincha is that a person, when he davens Mincha, you sort of have to like take a break from everything that you're doing to daven Mincha. So but when a person takes a break, what's the significance? Why do we call Mincha Mincha? Think about it. Mincha means, what does the word Mincha mean? It means a gift, but also means to rest. What's the significance of rest? What's the significance of rest on Shabbos? Menucha on Shabbos. What's Menucha Shabbos all about? What? Exactly. I mean, the point of resting is allowing a person to refocus and recalibrate everything that they do the rest of the week, and reminding them that everything else that they do is really for this purpose. The significance of Mincha, as the priest and the Jewish should explain, a person has to interrupt in the middle of their busy day to sort of take a few minutes to recognize the fact that all of Bracha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Mincha is all about. As I explained, that's what Yitzhak Avinu is all about. I mean, what's the whole idea, the essence of Yitzhak Avinu? The whole essence of Yitzhak Avinu is that Yitzhak Avinu was the Av that was the one that specifically davened out in the field, referred to the Beis Hamikdash as a field, because the whole significance of a field is that it's not a fixed structure like a mountain like Avram Avinu or like a house like Yaakov. No, the point of the field is that a person has to cultivate the field, but it's cultivating the field by recognizing the fact that really the bracha is really the hashpah, right? It's really coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the reason why Yitzhak Avinu is the one that establishes Tfilas Mincha, because that's really what differentiates Mincha from the other Tfilas of the day. Shacharis is the way a person starts the day. Maariv is how the person concludes the day. But the point of Mincha is that a person's allowed in the middle of the work day when a person's busy producing. But the point is a person has to take a step back and recognize the fact that all this bracha, all the hashpah is coming specifically from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that they're doing. And the point is that when it came to Yitzhak's son Esav, right, Esav remained Isha Sada. Esav never internalized this point. Esav remained the fact, he always went in with this mindset that that all the bracha is really a result of his efforts. But the point is that Yitzhak, when he established Tfilas Mincha, to mind and to highlight this point, really all bracha, and the reason all the working that he's done was doing was just really coming, all that bracha is really coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's, I guess, the significance of the connection between Yitzhak Avinu, why he specifically established Tfilas Mincha. It's also interesting, Maharal points out that the only of the Avos, when it comes to that, the Torah specifically mentions planting, is when it comes to Yitzhak Avinu in the sixth parasha. It says that Yitzhak Avinu planted Vayizah, and it says that he planted and he got a bracha, Meir She'arim, Vayvecheyo Hashem. Okay, good. Yeah, you're right. It says that I've been planted in Asia. Yeah, but the Maral points out that only planting seeds. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Maybe, okay. Yeah, the Maral points out only out of that the Torah mentions that he plants seeds is Yitzhak Avinu. So again, it could be along these lines because the point of the seeds is that the point is that Yitzhak Avinu sort of was recognizing the fact that all the brachas really come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's how Yitzhak Avinu gets the bracha of Vecheyo Hashem. Okay, any questions on this point? Otherwise, we'll just wrap up with some divrei chizuk for the ongoing situation itself and connect it to.
So what's the reason that Yitzhak is not mentioned in the Torah as much as Avraham?
I think the answer is because the significance of Yitzhak is that Yitzhak was the Av which allowed the message of Avraham to be perpetuated further. I mean, Avram Avinu was the one that came up with this whole idea. Monotheism, he's sort of but Yitzhak Avinu, the significance of Yitzhak Avinu is he's just the one that was, the Av was allowing that to be able to continue on. So he's not mentioned as much because he wasn't adding as much, but the message is that just because you're not adding as much doesn't mean that you're just not as important. Without Yitzhak Avinu, then the Torah wouldn't have gone any further. But the reason why Yitzhak Avinu is not mentioned as much, I guess, is twofold. A, because his role was not, there's not as much innovation, quote-unquote, then also that Yitzhak Avinu's really main contribution, the real one defining moment of Yitzhak Avinu was that act of the Akedah. That really defined who Yitzhak Avinu was. That one act of Mesiras Nefesh, which allowed Yitzhak Avinu to reach his potential, that's really what highlights and what Yitzhak Avinu is all about. And therefore, perhaps like, the Torah doesn't need to mention as much about Yitzhak Avinu, because Yitzhak Avinu's like, really whole life can sort of be summed up in that one moment of the Akedah. Okay, so maybe just a few words to connect to everything that's going on. So first of all, Klal Yisrael, we need not only do we need our Avrams, it's also very important to remind ourselves that we also need Yitzhak Avinu's as well, meaning it's not just as important as it is to be the Avram Avinu, the one that's coming up with new ideas and to sort of be the one out there spreading things, but we also need Yitzhak Avinu's, meaning we need people who are also able to take what's already there and be able to perpetuate and to continue it further. So, for example, this rally this past Tuesday, meaning it's not important only to be the person speaking up on the stage, but even the people who are just there passively in the audience, it's also just as important to Klal Yisrael as well. So it's obviously it's a very important message if we, in the society we live in nowadays. Everything is about chiddush. Everything is about impact. It's in academia, right? What's the difference between academia and Torah? When it comes to academia, they only give you credit if you come up with a new idea. Even if it's completely bogus, completely ridiculous, they only give you any credit. You don't get a PhD if you come up with a new idea. When it comes to Torah, the exact opposite is true. We value emes, we value truth. We don't value innovation for the sake of innovation. We value innovation if it's coming from a source of truth. So the point is, we have to remind ourselves, this mitzvah of Yitzhak Avinu, the fact Yitzhak Avinu, yeah, he wasn't innovating, he wasn't coming up with new ideas, but the point is that Yitzhak Avinu was just as much of an av as Avram. The same way Avram was an av, so too Yitzhak is an av. So too when it comes to us, that we don't always have to be the people who are coming up with new ideas and to be like the, you know, nowadays everything's about leadership. It's ridiculous. I just have a question, like if everyone's going to be a leader, it's like who are they leading at some point? Like when a certain university, we're not going to mention names, says that, that they're producing the leaders of tomorrow. So if everyone's going to be a leader of tomorrow, then who are they leading at that point?
Torah, like, leadership.
What?
The sign says Torah leadership now.
Okay. But who are you leading at some point? If everyone's going to be a leader, I mean, if your army just consists of generals and no troops, so that's not a bracha. But the point is that Klai Yisrael, when it comes to Klai Yisrael, we don't only need our Avrams, but we also need our Yitzchaks as well. We also need the people who are able to take the message of the leaders, the message of the generals, quote unquote, and also the ones that are able to take that and to actualize and implement it. But on another level as well, we also have to think about the fact that what's the significance of Yitzhak Avinu? Right? We said the Yitzhak Avinu's defining moment was that one act of Mesias Nefesh, and perhaps for that reason, Yitzhak Avinu is not mentioned as much in the Torah. So I just had the ha'ara. It's very important that if we look at the people who are actually being most in Nefesh for Klai Yisrael right now. Who are the people who are actually being most in effort for Klai Yisrael? With the soldiers on the front lines in Gaza. Now, who's not getting the attention that they... Who's not getting the front page attention in the press? The soldiers. Who is? Like the generals and whatnot. So, but we have to remind ourselves of the fact that the Maharal explains that if you look in the Pasuk in Parshas Bichukosai, so the Pasuk says, V'af es brisi Avram eskor? No. Huh? V'af es brisi... Afes Brisi Yitzhak, Afes Brisi Yaakov Eskor, Aris Eskor. So Chazal comments, actually their comments, why does it not say Zechir when it comes to Yitzhak? You look in the Pasuk, it says Zechir by both Avram and when it comes to Yaakov. Why does the Pasuk not say Zechir when it comes to Yitzhak? So Rashi explains, because Yitzhak doesn't need a Zechir, because Yitzhak Avinu's ashes are constantly, or always on the Mizbeach permanently. And Maral explains that the significance of Yitzhak Avinu, the significance of the Akedah, if we just think about it, the Akedah plays such a pivotal role in our religion. Why is that the Akedah plays such a pivotal role in our religion? We make so much emphasis on it in Rosh Hashanah many times throughout the year. We refer to the Akedah. Why is the Akedah so important? So Maral explains that the significance of the Akedah is that the Akedah serves as the eternal reminder of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to Klai Yisrael. Because of that one act of serious nefesh of Yitzhak, the fact that he's willing to risk his life, the fact that he's willing to be most nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that reminds Klai Yisrael of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the significance of the mysterious nefesh of Yitzhak. So we also have to keep that in mind. And right now, whose ashes are the ones that are reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's always connected to the Jewish people? Whose ashes are the ones that don't need a zechira? It's the soldiers that are mamish risking their lives right now on the front lines in Gaza. But they're not the ones that are getting all the attention. The same with Yitzhak, if you only gets one parsha, he's not mentioned so much in the Torah, but that same person was the one, he doesn't get so much mention in the Torah, but he's the one that has the ultimate reminder of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to Klai Yisrael. So the same thing is true now. The people who are in the front pages of the press are the people who are not risking their lives, but the ones who are really risking their lives, the ones who are really being most in Nefesh Klai Yisrael, those are the ones whose offer is Munach on Mizbeach. And then lastly, I guess also the Mida, we explained that the Yitzhak Avinu, he's the Amud of Tefillah. And right now, in the current Isara, more than ever, we need to tap into the Mida of Yitzhak Avinu. We need to tap into what Yitzhak Avinu is all about. Yitzhak Avinu is all about Tefillah. And recognizing the fact that all bracha, everything, every hashpal, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very important as this Mocham is ongoing that obviously Klai Yisrael, we need to fight, but we also need to fight with the fact that we know that our bracha, ultimately our victory, is going to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not kol chi v'otzim yadi aso zechai ozev, rather that the bracha and ultimately the nitzach and the Klai Yisrael is going to see over our enemies, it's really all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
Oh, really? you think compared to the Sada angel, when you say